a schmucko supremo last
Hold
night.
Hold on a minute. I'm the schmuck me. Oh, you're wrong, really, buddy. Grace. You're very wrong.
Yeah, buddy. You're wrong about her. She's actually a powerful voice, often for the voiceless.
I like getting a response. I like making people laugh. As I evolved as a performer, I realized I had a lot to say. I had a lot of connection to people who had, you know, been on the margins.
She's a performer, but she understood early the power of that platform.
I'm always going to be, quote unquote, outspoken about what's going on politically, culturally.
With 5 decades in entertainment making people laugh and think, Sandra Bernhard, now on The Pulse.
Hi, Kit.
Hi, Sandra Bernhard.
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. I say it almost every week, but by now you should understand we're talking to cool people with great stories who are doing amazing things and agree to spend some quality time with us. And our guest today, Sandra Bernhard, is one of those people. I wasn't even sure, I have to tell you, how to introduce you, because I saw, obviously, comedy, but the acting, but there's books, but you have multiple albums. You were just on Severance. Like, how do I even do this?
I'm trying to throw back to, you know, performers of my era, you know, the groovy people, you know, Cher, Carol Burnett, Lily Tomlin, you know, everybody who had, you know, a variety show, and they were incredibly talented actors. They could sing, they could dance, they could act. I'm sure most of them could write. And they had decades-long careers, some of them still around. Carol Burnett's still working, Cher's still working, you know. So that was what I grew up on and what inspired me, because I didn't think, I'm just going to be one thing. I'm just going to get up and do stand-up. No, I sing, so I'm going to put together one-woman shows that, you know, I tell stories, and they're funny, and they're irreverent, and I sing, and you know, they cover a variety of musical stylings from rock and roll to, like, you know, dance music. I mean, so I kind of cover it all. And yeah. As an actress, you know, all that stuff requires acting anyway. So why would it be so out of the blue to actually be in a role that required dramatic, you know, vibe and comedy at the same time? That's life. That's, If you can channel all that, that's the best part of being a performer.
It's an interesting kind of analysis of that. It's extremely humble, because it's one of the things that people always talk about with you, is that doing all of those different things and how it has kind of distinguished you, and you've had that career. That's just what you did then, and so that's just what you've continued to do. Do you acknowledge now that it's unique?
I think it's become more unique. I think that in a way it is, in a way it isn't. I think that people, a lot of performers, a lot of singers try to emulate, you know, people from those that era, the Tina Turners, the people that could do it all. But that all came naturally, and it all came out of necessity of having to do it. You know, you went from being on the road, you know, month after month after month, you had to, like, fill the stage with entertainment. And I think a lot of people do that now because they know they have to. But I think back then, it's because people wanted to, and it just came as second nature.
Yeah. And doing research to do this interview, I saw that several kind of credit you as having invented those one women shows, like the kind of doing it all there. Do you acknowledge that? Because it sounds like you're kind of, that's just what we did then. But people say you did it.
Well, I did it in a different way, you know. I took all of the sort of influences and raw talent I had, and I put it into something that was more postmodern, you know, because I'm talking about things and addressing, you know, whether they're racial issues or, you know, LGBTQ plus issues, or, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm holding up a mirror to society. I'm holding up a mirror to myself. So it's very multi-layered. It's a commentary on, you know, what we are, what we expect, what we've stolen from people and cultures, and how we, you know, sort of absorb it, and how we put it into our day-to-day lives as a society, but certainly as a performer, all of that stuff, you know, has had a huge influence. And I like to acknowledge where it's all come from.
So walk us back with all of that. I'm curious as to what made you want to do this, kind of get started, because all those things you just labeled, you're making people laugh, but you're changing society. Those all kind of come from different places.
Yeah, well, when I was really little, like 5 years old, I just wanted to, I entertained my family, and it was natural for me. I like getting a response. I like making people laugh, And then as I evolved as a performer, I realized I had a lot to say. I had a lot of connection to people who had, been on the margins. And that was really important to me to, like, be a champion for people. And that's also came as second nature, that I had to do that. It was a responsibility as an artist and as a human being to, like, be able to, like, you know, not only perform, but to leave the audience with something more important to think about.
Was comedy the kind of best path to doing that? I can go out there and change the world. I could say it. I was just on your Instagram page. I can give people the middle finger as I go through the town and say, this is what I'm going to stand for.
Yeah. I mean, of course. I mean, you can do so much in comedy, and having people like Paul Mooney as my mentor, and then being around people like Richard Pryor. This is all back in the 70s, and just seeing just the unabashed courage and audacity just to be exactly who they were and take their, family history and their cultural history and just, like, put it right out there. So I was like, yeah, this can be done, and I want to do it too because it's so effective. And it's also fun and crazy and original, because if you're drawing on your own experiences and resources, of course, nobody else can do what you're doing.
You just mentioned Richard Pryor kind of casually, and Paul Mooney. I was on your Instagram page, and there was, I guess, introducing the staff or the team of the Richard Pryor show. And I was like, I would have loved to be a fly on the wall of that room. I'm looking at that going, wow, look at those people. When you look at that, what's your response to that? I mean, that was a team.
Yeah, well, they were all like, people that became successful performers. Robin Williams, I can't remember everybody who was there.
Yeah, Paul Mooney, John Witherspoon.
Yeah, Mooney was like, Mooney helped produce the show. He was the one who was responsible for choosing everybody and putting together the performers. That's which is why I ended up there. I mean, and it was amazing. But again, when you're really young and you're just in, and it was before all of social media, and I'm way, way, way before, you were just in the moment. You know what I mean? It was like, oh yeah, I'm here. I'm talented. I get to do things that are within my wheelhouse. I don't know. And nobody thought like, oh, this is so weird. And Richard Pryor was so sweet and so, like, supportive of young talent. You didn't feel like, oh my God, I'm awed. I'm going to freeze. It's like Pryor was working through his own, stuff all the time, So it wasn't weird to be around somebody like Richard Pryor or Paul Mooney at all.
Yeah. So to be going through all that, that's kind of walking through you have your journey, you're doing comedy, you're on these different shows. Was there something you defined as the big break?
Yeah, certainly King of Comedy, the film that I did with Robert De Niro and Jerry Lewis, directed by Martin Scorsese, was elevated my career to another level. And it was also like, it gave me a lot of confidence, a lot of belief in myself as an actor. So, yeah, and people, Hollywood, like, was like, oh, when new people arrive in Hollywood, they're always interested in you for a while. And then you become part of, like, the landscape, and then there's the next person who comes along. But it certainly set the table for me as a unique talent. And, that was a game changer.
Yeah, and then after that, Roseanne and Pose and American Horror Story and all, like, just.
And so much else in between, and all my one woman shows. And, it's, and life. You know what I mean? Like, the most important thing is that as a performer, as an actress, as a writer, that you're really like having an authentic life, you know, that you have relationships and friendships and, you know, and you go on adventures and trips and you meet people and you synthesize all of the things that you're watching and the political times and the turmoil and the acting and the singers of the time and all the people who inspire you. You know, it's a constant synthesizing of all that information that keeps your work fresh.
What's the best part?
I think being out in the world and traveling and experiencing other cultures and making new friends, that to me, I mean, it always amazes me, no matter how many friends and old friends I have, I'm always making new friends, whether it's through work or, you know, people who are fans or, you know, it's so nice to be constantly inspired by people and their stories.
And it was, you know, I was thinking about it because you're obviously coming to town, you're on tour, but in looking through your career, you're kind of always doing something or on tour, yeah, or on a show. But you're here April 27th at the Keswick Theater. I feel like with all the success you have, you have to love this to keep doing it, because you don't have to do this.
Yeah, well, I do have to do it because it's something that it's like second nature to me. It's like breathing, I'm walking. It's like performing is something, and I'm constantly writing and thinking of ideas and songs I want to sing. It's not like it has to be pulled out of me or dragged out of me. It's just like I'm always in that sort of mind space and tempo, you know, thinking about ideas and jotting things down. So I just love doing it, and I love performing live, because you ask anybody who performs live, there's nothing that comes close to the experience.
So even now, I've had a lot of comedians specifically, but people in general have talked about the performing live over time has changed a little bit, I guess, through social media, through, you know, cancel culture, through all of these things. I feel like you were taking that on years ago. So I would wonder how much any of that even phases you.
Well, I mean, we've all had to adjust to certain things, and in many ways, it was the right thing to happen. You know, to be casual about certain language, or, you know, even for me, somebody who's an incredibly, you know, concerned person about, you know, a culture's emotions and feelings. You know, there are things that you don't understand because you're not of that culture. I'm a woman, you know, I'm aligned with the LGBTQ community, and I'm extremely aligned with the Black community, because that's where I cut my teeth and the people who I first sort of, you know, related to as a performer. So, but, you know, it's just like you just sort of recalibrate and readjust some of the things that you might have said offhandedly 20 years ago, you just maybe wouldn't now, and that becomes second nature. You self-edit, and it's usually for the best.
I wonder how, because that, the self-edit, the evolution, the for the best, kind of coincides with the time where you could argue we need voices as much as ever. So that seems like it would be an interesting balancing act. Like, there, people are much more sensitive to it, but it is also a time where there's so many things that need to be said.
Well, that doesn't mean you can't say things. I mean, mm-hmm. You just say things in a different way. That to me is a given. I mean, I'm always going to be, quote unquote, outspoken about what's going on politically, culturally. I will be a social critic, but I think that, you know, just to do offhanded comments about the way somebody looks or, you know, that's not effective, and that doesn't move the needle. You've got to be smart. You've got to be multi-layered. You've got to think about things and present them in a way that people hear more than one thing at once.
Yeah. So being sensitive, informed, evolving is not the same thing as not still taking on those issues and being outspoken
not
and challenging.
Not at all. Au contraire.
All right. So on the Shapes and Forms tour, tell us what we're going to experience on this one.
Well, a lot of it is like about it's stories about people that either I wanted to meet or I know, and they're very like personal stories, and they're all woven in and out of like great cover tunes and songs that I have always wanted to do. And then there's like the sort of through line of like little interstitials and you know, little witty asides and funny little, you know, one-liners, and it all weaves it together and takes you on a little bit of a journey, which is what, you know, I like to think my shows always do. Take you up, take you down, take you in circuitous places that you've never gone before, because that's kind of, you know, I want to reflect where I've been and what I do so that people have a unique experience with me.
And people who see this will obviously spend some time laughing, spend some time thinking. Like, what's the takeaway from people who walk out of Shapes and Forms?
All of that, you know, it's like you want to like shake people up a little bit, you know, in a good way. You want to like, you know, open up the emotional conversation. And at the same time, you just want to entertain people. I mean, that's what I want to do, and let them know they have an advocate out there on the front lines.
Is there anything that you haven't done? Is there still something on your, I don't mean it like that. That came across really on the bucket list.
Don't worry about it.
I am sure there are things that you haven't done in life, but on the bucket list of career, I mean, you've written the books, you host shows, and we can talk about that in just a minute. The XM, Sirius XM show for right. years. You do all of that. Is there still something that you want to do but haven't had the chance to?
Yeah, well, I've tried to create several TV series for me to star in, and I'd love to write and produce a show for myself, an ensemble show. But you know, it's very hard to get those off the ground. But I continue to try, and I've come up with new ideas over the years, and I'll continue to whittle away at that until it happens.
So still evolving, still doing more, still enjoying every bit of this journey.
Yeah.
So tell us about Sandyland. I was on there looking at, again, Instagram and listening to some of the shows. That seems to fit and has for years. What I have seen from you about talking, making a difference, interviewing, entertaining.
Yeah, well, it's a great platform for, you know, weekly for me to like talk about what's topical and happening in the news and in politics, in culture. And then I take calls from people, which is great because, you know, it's very interesting to get like a cross section of the people that listen to me that surprise me, like people from Texas, from South Carolina, from, you know, places I would never expect people to like tune in are into me. And, they, you know, they feel like I'm sort of a touchstone and a conduit for them, for their frustrations, and I kind of voice them. So they call in and we chat, and then I have on, hopefully week to week, a compelling guest, whether somebody in entertainment or politics or, you know, across the board, a variety of interesting people. And it's great because, you know, it's just a conversation like this. You know, you can get the best out of somebody and hopefully make them feel comfortable enough to talk about things to them that really matter.
It was, I mean, obviously your show is not new, but I used to do talk radio. And one of the things that was interesting about that is the immediate feedback. And you say that it's kind of surprising when you get calls from places that may be a little bit unusual or not thinking that you had those types of topics. It's very eye-opening, at least it was for me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, to reach people that you assume would never be into somebody like me is like, it's just like, it's great because you want to reach those people. You want to make a difference. You want to move the needle.
So a couple of things we want to continue to make sure people know about the show, a couple more things, but you touched on your kind of activism. You mentioned the things that's always been a part of you, the things that you're going to continue to work on. What should we be aware of in terms of your ongoing activism, how we get involved in being supportive of the things that matter to you?
Well, women's reproductive rights are like, you know, really kind of top of the list because they're really at risk of being completely taken away. And the fact that women and healthcare providers can end up being arrested for providing, health care for women who are having miscarriages. It's just shocking. So I think that's something that, people should really get on board with, because we all have like mothers and sisters and daughters and people who could be at risk during their pregnancy or their decision not to have a pregnancy. And that should be a no-brainer. That was, passed into law and then dismantled by the Supreme Court. And it's just unacceptable. So I think, without like diluting down a million, I don't want to just run down a litany of things that I support, but that to me is something that's, it's so important. It's like women giving birth, needing to be taken care of and protected along with the healthcare providers. It's just a number one concern.
Okay. And people continue to stay aware, following you on social, coming, see your shows, all of these things. What was it like? You talk about being a star of a show. And I don't know if Severance was making you the star, but it was kind of cool to be in there, be a part of that, to be involved in one of those hit shows.
No, it was incredible. I mean, and, everybody was really waiting for the second season, and it took a long time for it to get out. So I think people were really primed and really surprised to see people like me pop up in an interesting way. We shot it like a year ago, and I've been sitting on it for a year and not allowed to like talk about it, which I love. I think that you always want to surprise people, and it's had such a great impact, and I just love the show. It's just one of the best shows ever on TV.
I feel like you're so much better than me. That would be so hard for me. Like, knowing I'm going to do that and sitting on it for a year, people are asking questions. I would be like, well, there is a little something coming up, but I can't let you know about it.
Yeah. Well, when you know that the effect it's going to have ultimately, it's not so hard just to stay mum.
Coming to the Keswick Theater, April 27th, Sandra Bernhard doing so many things, but her show will be amazing. It always is. We end every episode of The Pulse with the same question. I feel like you have touched on it pretty much throughout the discussion, but the theme of the show is using your voice for good. So I ask everybody what that phrase, use your voice for good, means to them.
Well, using my voice for good is, constantly reminding people that nothing is promised and nothing is given in this country and around the world, to have healthcare, to have education, to have freedom and autonomy is not something that is handed to us, which is certainly being proved right now. So if you are of voting age, you must get out and vote, whether it's a local election, a national election, you must be engaged, you must stay involved. It's your responsibility as a citizen, and it can be easily taken away, so never take it for granted.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to The Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. Today with Sandra Bernhard. A lot of the things that you search and research, the people that she has worked with, they identify her as a comedy legend, an icon. She's been doing this for 50 years. It's hard to believe. Working with people like Richard Pryor, people like Robin Williams, people like John Witherspoon, people like Paul Mooney, a truly remarkable career. And it was interesting hearing her story, her commitment to activism and advocacy, her books, her radio show. Like, she does a little bit of everything and does it all well. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Go ahead and hit like, follow, subscribe, whatever it is that pops up on your screen, so you get a notification every week when another episode of The Pulse comes out. You also should download the Fox Local app. That way you can take us with you wherever you go. All the episodes of not only this show, but all of them right there on demand. What are we up to? It's got to be pushing 200 episodes of the show with some amazing guests. People are off camera and off microphone shaking their head. Not that much, Bill. A lot. All right. I'm not a scientist. A lot. Just go ahead and check them out. 140, I'm being told. So you can go check out all 140 episodes. I'm sure that there will be something that you enjoy. And also hit me up on social media at BillAFox29. Always eager to hear from you. And I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good. and have a good one.